Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
You need to see yourself as a steward, not an owner of the money that you have.
Once you understand that it isn't your money, it's His money, and then He just blesses us, and our finances improved. God really blessed our finances. You can trust God with your money.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my third week of teaching on financial stewardship, and I tell you, this has been powerful. This has revolutionized my life. And because of it, God has prospered me and God has given me enough money that, praise God, I can be on television all over the world. We have over 3 billion people that could be watching this program. We are sending out materials. We are doing things because God has shown me how to prosper in His system. And it has empowered me to be able to do things that I couldn't have done if I didn't believe in prosperity. And there was a time I didn't believe in prosperity. I was actually taught that believing God for prosperity was selfish. And it's really just the opposite. Now, it can be selfish, and there are many people who use the scriptures about prosperity for selfish purposes. And I think that because of that, that has tainted many people's attitude towards prosperity, because there's some preachers, there's some people on television just preaching about send in your money, and if you will give $1,000, you know, in the next 5 minutes, then there's a window open and you're going to get people saved. And in a sense, they're manipulating people and making people think you can buy the blessings of God. And there's a lot of crooks and charlatans out there. I admit that that exists. But there is a biblical truth about prosperity, and that's the reason I've entitled my teaching on this financial stewardship. I didn't entitle it How to Get Rich or Prosperity or something, although those things are true statements. You need to have the attitude of being a steward, and you need to have the right attitude towards money. If you understand what the Bible teaches about prosperity, it's really not selfish. I used this verse yesterday, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. This is saying the reason you labor with your hands isn't to get your needs met, but it's so that you can bless other people. And this is radical thinking. Most people say, that doesn't work. Man, I got to take care of me first. If I don't take care of me, nobody else will. And only if I have extra will I think about somebody else. That's actually the opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the reason you work is so that you can be empowered to be a blessing to other people. And I couple that with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And if you take it in context, it's talking about money. With your money, use money first for the kingdom of God, and then all of these things, what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with, will be added unto you. If you put God first in your giving, if you put giving ahead of taking, then God will supernaturally provide for you, and He will provide for you better than you would have provided for yourself. And you know what? That's counterintuitive. There's a lot of people watching this program right now saying this does not work. It's a statement of faith. This is what God says. Put first the kingdom of God. And again, read it in its context. I went through those verses yesterday. It's talking about money. If you would put God first in your money, God will supernaturally take care of your physical needs. And God will take care of you better than you would take care of yourself. I gave a lot of testimonies about all of that yesterday. But there have actually been people who have taught that, no, prosperity is selfish, it's greedy. Well, it can be. And there is no doubt that there are a lot of people that the reason they want to prosper is so that they can just have more stuff, so that they can look at all that they've accumulated. And just like in Luke chapter 12, the rich man who, you know, said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to big, bigger barn so I can just, you know, store all of this stuff. Instead of blessing other people with my abundance, no, I'm just going to build bigger barns and all of this. I'm going to say unto my soul, soul, you know, you are well satisfied, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And then whose will all of this stuff be? No, there are some people that have that attitude. And I'm saying that even there are some ministers that have that attitude. But that is not what I'm saying. I believe in prosperity. I am teaching on prosperity, not so that you can just have more. Although I believe you will have more as you start putting God first and trusting Him, you just can't help it. God is going to bless you. So I am not against you having nice things, but I'm saying I am against that being the focus. Your goal shouldn't be personal prosperity. Your goal ought to be, God, I want to be a bigger blessing. I want to touch more people. I want to help more people. And so therefore, I'm going to put first the kingdom of God. I'm going to give more to you. And as you do, it just comes back to you on every way. Give and it shall be given unto you. It's a biblical principle. You can't deny it. You can't stop it from working if your heart is correct. But you've got to make sure that your motives are correct. Let me use some verses over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that these verses are often used to discredit people believing for prosperity, because basically they're coming at it from, if you want to prosper, it is total selfishness, it's greed, and that's a wrong attitude, a wrong motive, and they come against prosperity because of that. Look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but let me just break into verse 5. It's talking about people who have erred from the faith and are doing all of these things. They're perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. I will admit that there are some ministers that honestly preach that if you are godly, you're going to have all of these things. Now, I believe that you can have all of these things, physical things, houses, cars, jewelry, etc., and be godly. I don't believe that you have to be poor to be godly. I do not believe that all wealthy people are ungodly. So are you hearing what I'm saying? I am not against prosperity, but I am against people that equate prosperity to only physical, natural things. Clothes, rings, jewelry, houses, cars, all of these kind of things. If that's what you see as your prosperity, I think that's misplaced. And that's what this is talking about, supposing that gain is godliness. No, there are people, there are some of the richest people on this planet that are very prosperous, but they gained in an ungodly way. You know, it says in Proverbs 10, I believe it's around verse 22, 23, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. There is a way to prosper in God's kingdom, and it doesn't bring stress, it doesn't bring sorrow and grief and things like that. But there are people who prosper in the world system. You can go out and rob a bank and become prosperous. Now, you may get caught, but even if you didn't get caught, you could have money, but man, it's not God's system. You can win the lottery. Somebody's going to win the lottery, but that's not God's system. I'm going to actually be talking about this later in this series, that is not God's system. There's other ways to prosper than God's, but the people who gain and use that as an example of, this shows that I am godly because I've got all of these things. I believe that's a wrong way to evaluate things. I believe it's actually more accurate to evaluate a person's prosperity, not by how much they have, but how much they give. I believe that's a greater indication of your prosperity. Now, again, this goes contrary to most people's way of thinking. Most people say, man, I'm prosperous because look at this fancy house, this car, all of these things. No, how much do you give? I believe that's the way God looks at things. You know, I used this example yesterday about a man who lived in a very nice house, drove fancy cars, and people criticized him for it. But God looks at things not what you have, but how much you've given. This man lived in a house that equaled 14 months worth of his giving. How many of you would like to live in a house that equaled 14 months worth of your giving? I bet you there's not very many people watching this that would take that deal. So see, God doesn't care. You could live in a $10 million home. God doesn't care if you have given more than what you are consuming upon yourself. See, this is the way that God looks at things. He deals with things differently than what we do. There are people that just criticize others because of their level of prosperity. It's like a person criticizing this harvest. How dare you have this huge harvest? But if you plant a lot of seed, you can't help but have a large harvest. See, I'm not saying that those who look at their assets and say, man, this proves that I'm God. That's not it. God looks at how much you've given. That's the way that He sees. You could turn over and look at the example of the little widow that only gave two mites. That amounted to half of one penny. And there were rich men that threw large amounts of money into the treasury, and yet Jesus said that this widow woman has cast in more than all of these wealthy people. She didn't cast in more as far as the dollar amount, but she cast in more as a percentage of what she had. She gave 100%. And God saw that two mites, half of a penny, as being a greater gift than the people that gave the equivalent of $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever, because that was only a portion of what they had. See, God looks at things differently. He evaluates things based on what you have left, not just what you give. A rich man may give $1,000, and compared to some very poor people, he may think, man, I gave a lot. But compared to all of the money that he has, God sees him as not being a good steward. God doesn't look at the dollar amount. This is the reason that he didn't say everybody has to give the equivalent of $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. No, he deals in percentages. That's the reason that in the old covenant, which again, I believe we live in a better covenant, and if 10% was the standard in the old covenant, I believe that we ought to be giving much more than that today. But I'll deal with that later in this series. But that's the reason that God gave percentages. Because a person that only has a dollar, did you know you've got a tithe? You can give a dime off of a dollar. And some people think, well, that's not much. Why? I need that dime. No, you need to sow more than you need to keep that dime. It's like if I gave you a whole bunch of seed. You might be hungry, and if you eat all of those seeds, it may bless you temporarily, and it may keep you from starving for the next day or for the next week. But if you eat all of your seeds and don't plant some of them, I can guarantee you, you are going to go hungry. The right way to do it is to say, all right, God, I've got all of these seeds. I'm going to eat some of them because I need to stay alive, but I'm going to sow as many as I can. And as you do that, well, then those seeds will produce more. And so you go ahead and you eat some of those and you keep doing that over a prolonged period of time. And I guarantee you, you are going to be one prosperous person if you start sowing a portion of what you've got. But the sad fact is most people eat all of their seed instead of sowing a portion of it. So going back to this verse, it says, some people suppose that gain is godliness. I'm against that. I'm against saying that I'm prosperous because I have a fancy house, I have jewelry, I have clothes. I'm not against those things, but that is not how I evaluate prosperity. I don't look at what a person has, I look at how much they've given. You know, there's a good friend of mine, Pastor Dean Melton, and I've gone to his church for, I think it was 34 years in a row in Charlotte, North Carolina. And actually, during the time that you're seeing these programs, right around this time, this will be the first year in 35 years I haven't gone and preached his camp meeting in September. But anyway, Dean Melton is an amazing person on many levels. I could discuss that for a while. But in this area of finances, did you know that Dean lives in a house that he bought in the 1950s for, I think, again, I may get something wrong, but the principles that I'm saying are right. I think he bought that house for $2,500. It's a 700 square foot house. And did you know, most people would look at that and say, this man is extremely poor. But no, this man is extremely rich. Because I'm looking at what he gives. He gives away 90% of everything that comes in. He doesn't even take a salary from the church that he pastors. He has a tire store that he runs, but he gives away 90%. He lives off of 10%, and he owns, I don't even know, but I'd say at least a dozen or maybe two dozen homes, and he rents them out, and he has income coming in from that. This man has a lot of money flow through his hands, but he doesn't use it all for himself. He doesn't drive brand new cars. He doesn't wear fancy clothes. It's not into jewelry. And there's nothing wrong with you having those things if you have put first the kingdom of God. You are going to have the blessings of God come back on you, and it's just hard to avoid it. But I'm saying that Pastor Dean Melton is a guy who puts first the kingdom of God. And as a result, I believe that Dean is a very prosperous man. I believe that from God's perspective, when we stand before God, God is going to see Dean as a very prosperous man, much more prosperous than people that live in a $5-10 million home that have all of the assets and stuff. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things if they come as the fruit, as the byproduct of you putting first the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying that in the world's eyes, Dean is a poor person. But no, in God's eyes, he's a very rich person. I think God looks at things totally different. It says in verse 6, this is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you know that there's a lot of people that have a lot of assets in the world's eyes, but they aren't content? They're never satisfied. They've got to get more. If you were to win the lottery, you may live in a $500,000, $1 million home, but if you won the lottery, you would just cash out and you would go get something else and you'd be in debt up to your eyeballs again. It's all about getting as much as you can and then canning all that you get and then sitting on your can. That is a lot of people's idea of the American dream. But with God, it's putting first the kingdom of God. I mean, sooner or later, it says here that godliness with contentment is great gain. How sooner or later, you need to be content with what you have. Now, I'm not talking about being complacent. There's a difference between complacency and contentment. But sooner or later, you need to reach a place to where you're content. To where even if you had an unlimited amount of money, you don't need anything more than what you've got. You know, I've said this before on this program, but how many bathrooms do you have to be able to, take care of your needs? How big does your house have to be? How many beds do you have to be able to sleep good at night? Sooner or later, you just need to say, God, I'm content. I don't have to have more. I could have more, but I don't have to have more. And you just become content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I believe God wants us to be provided for. You know, Jamie and I have been through a lot of poverty. Most of it was of my own making because I was under this teaching that somehow or another, poverty was godly. And so I lived in poverty for a while. So we've been in great poverty. We've been without food. We've gone weeks at a time without eating because we didn't have enough money to get the food that we needed. So I've been in that realm. Right now, we are blessed. Everything we've got, our house is paid for, our cars are paid for. I've got people that have given me cars. I've got everything that I need. I don't need anything else. You know, I've had people give me gift cards at Christmas. And at the time I'm making this, I still have over $4,000, I just counted it up last week, of gift cards that were given to me at Christmas, and it's been over 6 months, and I hadn't used them yet. You know, I just got everything that I need, everything that I want. And I could be getting more. I've got these gift cards, but I just don't use them. I'm content. So I'm saying sooner or later, instead of just always getting more, and man, if you won the lottery, instead of going in debt for a $10 million house and buying $200,000 cars, sooner or later, you just need to become content and start using the prosperity that God is giving you to advance the kingdom of God instead of your kingdom. Put first the kingdom of God. In verse 7, 1 Timothy 6, 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Another way of saying this is that you'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You know what? When you die, you leave. And you came into the world naked, and your spirit's going to leave this world naked. You can dress up that body and you can put a suit or a dress on it, but you know what? You can't take it with you. You can't take your gold. You can't take your house. You can't take your car. You can't take your stocks and bonds. You brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Again, I believe that this is just saying having your basic necessities met. You know, in today's world, you need to get around. You need some transportation. And there are things, you know, if you're watching this program, you're watching it on a television set. And man, a television set can be a great asset. It can be a great liability too. We watch the wrong things, but there's nothing wrong with us having these basic needs. But this is just basically saying that once you get to where your needs are met, you know, how many flat screen televisions do you have to watch television? Some people have them in every room of their house. They have them in their bathroom so that they can always watch it. I mean, when do you say enough is enough? I think that there's just great advantage to having, you know, your basic needs met and just learn to be content. And then it says in verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown man in destruction and perdition. Again, there are some people that use this verse to teach against prosperity, that you aren't supposed to have money. You're supposed to live on a poverty level. You're supposed to just barely get your needs met. Well, if you really believe that, if you think that money is somehow or another evil and that you just need to do without it, well, then I invite you to send all of your money to me, amen, and get rid of this filthy lucre so that you can be really poor. That is not what this is saying. But it is saying that there are some people that are consumed with just getting things for themselves. They're like a vacuum cleaner that's just constantly sucking everything towards them. They don't give anything out. It's all about them. That is an absolutely wrong opinion. If you would put first the kingdom of God, if instead of being like a vacuum cleaner that just sucks everything towards you, instead you are more like you are a one of these leaf blowers or something, that you're reversing the flow and you are just seeing how much you can possibly give out. There's nothing wrong with prosperity as long as you are using it to bless other people. This isn't saying that you're supposed to be poor, but it is saying that if your attitude is just selfish, if you are wanting prosperity just for yourself, that is an ungodly attitude. It's a snare. And it enters you into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. There are many people that have been destroyed through a lust of finances. You know the antidote for that? Give. Start giving first. When you put first the kingdom of God and you give first, it will deal a death blow to that selfish, covetous attitude. And so anyway, I'm out of time today, but praise God, I got a lot more to share. We'll be dealing with this next week. Again, I'd like to encourage you to please get this teaching on financial stewardship. I've got it in book form, English and Spanish. We've got CDs, DVDs. I've got study guides that is the same material, just reformatted so you could teach it in a Bible study setting. And then we have a DVD that is actually testimonies of people who have put these principles into practice and are prospering God's way. Listen to our announcer as he gives you this information, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in either a CD or DVD album or as a book or companion study guide. Also available is the Financial Breakthroughs DVD, which includes 6 true stories of people that experience the freedom of turning their finances over to God. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of any amount. Or you can get the Financial Stewardship Package. This package includes the book, study guide, and your choice of either the CD or DVD album, as well as the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. This package has a catalog value of $115, but you can get it today for only $80. Also, Andrew would like to make available his redesigned Living Commentary Bible software. Download your copy of Andrew's Living Commentary and start studying through the Bible with Andrew today. The Living Commentary is available for both Mac and PC for a gift of only $120 exclusively as a download at awmi.net. The individual topic highlighted on today's broadcast is available as an audio CD for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give because there's a blessing in giving. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide today's teaching free of charge. You can order resources or become a Grace Partner through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to our Women's Arise Conference. It's November the 7th through the 9th. I'm not going to be there, but some of my best friends, Carly Terades, Pastor Sue Sheriff, Pastor Sherris Johnson, and Dorothy Brown. That's James Brown's wife. I tell you, she's become a great friend. These are some powerful women. You'll be blessed. It's going to be a great conference, November 7th through the 9th, Women Arise in Woodland Park, Colorado at our Caris facilities. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God already had determined a purpose for your life, a God-given purpose.
God has a purpose to train you in what you're called to do, and I tell you, Caris Bible College is the place for that.
Man, if you want a life change, come to Caris.
Come on to Caris!
You need to take a step of faith and start believing God for something big. God made every one of you for something special.
The next 2 to 3 years could be the most powerful time of your life.
If you sit under the Word for 4 hours a day, for 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years, I guarantee you, you are gonna have God speak to you and start revealing purpose to you.
We all have a purpose and a destiny, and you will find that out when you attend Caris Bible College.
Every one of you were created for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is?
Andrew's Bible College, Caris Bible College, has over 60 extension schools around the world. Go to carisbiblecollege.org today to find a school near you. Transforming lives, training leaders, changing the world. Caris Bible College.